Bunkers.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker Show here on Channel Radio in association with Biz Radio. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the lovely, luscious Linda.
Hello.
Hello, Linda. Because Jules has gone on holiday again for the seventh time this summer.
I know. So would she have eaten the flapjacks or would she?
Oh, yeah.
She would have done.
She would have eaten the flapjacks. One of our lovely guests, Sally Young, has bought some flapjacks, which I haven't touched, Amanda.
Oh, Jules, you don't know what you're missing.
Yeah. No, Jules would have eaten them whilst moaning that she was gluten intolerant and shouldn't really.
Well, I'll eat them while I'm on a diet.
You eat them for her?
Yeah, I'll eat them for her.
Good,
absolutely.
Good. And, of course, our other guest today is Mr. Terry Thorpe, and we're going to be talking to Terry shortly. But welcome, everybody. Thank you for joining us. I tell you what, Linda, I'll tell you what, why don't you start off? We've had quite a few tweets, so do tweet us. Use the hashtag BBunker. You can tweet me, Vanilla Web, or her, at Linda Cloke, C-L-O-K-E. Do give us a tweet if you want to shout out, but we've had quite a few tweets already. I think everybody's back in the saddle now. Yeah, now the summer's over. They're all back from their holidays and their bank holidays and all the other stuff. Did you watch any of the goings-on yesterday?
No, actually, I didn't, because my mum watched it in the morning. I was going to watch it, and she said it made her feel really sad.
Right.
And I had my grandson with me. Mm. So I took him out in the garden, and I took him on a bike ride, and I thought I'll catch up later when everyone isn't so sad.
Yeah. Well, I was watching a little bit of it, and I was talking to my son, my oldest son. I was going, this is a once-in-a-lifetime thing. And we were at my mum's, and my mum went, I've seen three.
Yeah.
Which, of course, she has.
Yeah. It's a really sad time, and I think a lot of people obviously are feeling it.
Mm.
You saw the emotions on people's, faces. It just through, obviously I'm on a lot of social media.
Sure.
So I've seen all the emotion and everything on there.
I tell you what impressed me more than anything else is an event that big, that long, and involving that many people, how organised it was.
Well, someone said this morning that it was all planned in the 1960s.
Yeah. Obviously, it was pre-planned. I was saying to Amanda yesterday, I don't know if you noticed, the pallbearers, there were eight of them, and there's normally only six. And Amanda's gone, she was only little. She kind of weighed very much, but the coffin's lead-lined, and it was really heavy. You think they walked all that way, carrying it, eight blokes, the opportunity for things to go wrong in something that lasted so long, because it went on for days and days and days, really, and there were lots of events that happened, and it didn't. And although they pre-planned it, and I was saying to Amanda, they must have, in the last week or so, they must have been practicing day and night somewhere, all these things, because it all kind of just gelled.
Some people haven't known what to do, have they, the etiquette around it. Some people have said stop social media for the 10 days.
Yeah.
Some said just stop it yesterday.
Yeah.
Others weren't sure whether to post with a picture. It's a very confusing time.
I think you try to be respectful, don't you, whatever your thoughts and feelings on it are. But then again, it's not entirely easy to stop doing something. A lot of us use automated tools, and if you're going to try and switch all of those off for a few hours, it's quite complicated.
Yeah.
But fair play to Vern. Vern is the, let me get his title right, he's the Garrison Sergeant Major for the London Guards, and he was the guy that organised the entire thing.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Oh. Well, nobody's twittering about that today, but you have heard from Chips and Dinks, and they've said, have a great show, B Bunker, and they've said hi to me.
Have they?
Thank you, guys.
Oh, that's nice.
That's really sweet. Hi.
You might find you've got a couple of tweets, because I did mention you in the shout-out thing that said they could tweet you. Justin Dean of Creative Motion has also said, have a great day, have a great show, and we've been listening. So thank you, Justin. That's Justin Dean. He's from Creative Motion.
Kim the Care Lady has said, I'd love a shout out on BBunker. Do you know someone that loves helping others, has a passion for welfare of others? Would they make a great carer? Maybe caring is their calling. Call Amy today on 01233 619530. She looks forward to hearing from you.
Fantastic. And they're lovely folks over there at Caring Kent.
And you've also got one here from Michael Parks, who are always there for us, Michael Parks Surveyors. We would love to give BBunker a hello from your incredible team. Thank you so much, with a little love heart. How lovely.
I'm glad to see that Steph could tweet today, because she couldn't tweet last week because she had no electricity.
Oh.
They cut her off.
Oh, no.
Yeah, they had one of their blackouts.
What, so her phone wasn't charged?
No. She's based in South Africa. Although she does the social media for them, and they've got energy rationing in South Africa. So her 4-hour allowance a day didn't fall within the show.
Oh, how awful. Oh, dear. Yeah. Neil from What's On in Kent. Yes, any support is always appreciated. Lots going on in Kent this week. Do download our app for free information. Have a great show, guys.
Mm.
From What's On in Kent.
Right, I need to tell you about this. There's a Kent virtual networking event going on. That's virtual, so it's online. It's happening on Wednesday, the 28th of September, 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. You can meet other businesses, expand your network at the virtual Kent FSB Connect event hosted by Peter Searle. If you want to find out more, kentbusinessradio.co.uk/calendar, and it can all be found there, and you can book your free place. Right. I'll tell you what, Linda, do you want to read an email now?
I've got one here from Kenwood Orchard, and I was there the other day because my Elle and her boyfriend did a fire walk.
I saw that, yeah. Mm.
And
they raised a lot of money.
I know. They tried to get me to do it, and I watched all the training and everything. That is something I've never wanted to do.
Nah.
But now I've got to jump out of an aeroplane for them. But anyway, here you go. We are delighted to be welcoming the fantastic team from Brush Party to Kenwood Trust in October for a special artistic fundraising event. You'll be taught how to become your own Picasso and create your very own alpaca painting, hence Alpacasso.
Oh. It's not easy to say that, is it? When we were doing the marketing for that, we came up with the idea, but it's not easy to say. It's Alpacasso.
That's right.
Yeah. Do you see what we did there? It's a Picasso about alpacas.
Yes, very clever. Set in our beautiful Sinden room, in just 2 to 3 hours, you'll have completed your painting, which you can then take home with you. It doesn't matter if you haven't picked up a paintbrush since you were at school. This class is for everyone. Tickets are £35 each and include all the equipment, paint, canvas, etc. Tea and coffee will be available, but you're welcome to bring your own soft drinks and snacks. Please bear in mind that there is no alcohol permitted on this site. We will also be holding a raffle during the event, which will have some incredible prizes, and our gift shop will be open, so don't forget your wallets, purses. Mm. Places are limited, with only 30 tickets available, so don't wait to book your place. All proceeds from this event are going to support the life-changing work that we do at Kenwood Trust. The event is on Saturday, the 8th of October, 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. Please arrive 10 minutes prior to the event starting. The venue is Sydenham Room, Kenwood Trust. Tickets are £35 per person.
We need money. Send us money. We need money. I'm a trustee of Kenwood Trust, and we are the busiest we've ever been in 50 years as a charity in terms of residents and people we're trying to help. And of course, it's quite expensive to run a residential charity, and we don't get any government help at all. So
we met some of the residents. Actually, lovely people, because they were all sitting around watching the firewalk as well.
Yeah,
and they were telling us we could pick the apples. So of course, we did, because we had their permission. Mm. So yeah, it was really good. Went up and saw the alpacas. Mm. What a beautiful sight! The surrounding countryside is amazing.
It is. It's
the house is amazing.
Mm.
Really lovely, beautiful house.
It's a Georgian country house that it's set in the Lewes Valley, basically. And it's a very tranquil setting. And we have disc golf.
Oh, that's right.
We are the only disc golf course in Kent, and we are a registered disc golf course on the UK Disc Golf Championship, which is a professional championship.
Great team building event, that, people.
It is.
Really good fun. Can you imagine, like,
It's basically golf played with a frisbee.
Yeah.
Or, in fact, you get three frisbees. Yeah, but you get different weight, different size frisbees, so that, as with golf with different clubs, as you move around the course, you use a different frisbee to hold it out. Mm. Very popular, very big in the United States. There's a massive professional tour. It's great fun. It's a good corporate event, but you can just rock up and play on your own if you want, or just a couple of you. It's really good fun, and we've got a nice laid-out course.
Now, what we'll have to do is go and have a practice and then sort out an event. So
yeah, exactly.
Everyone else when they get there.
Yeah, yeah. See, she needed to practice first, didn't she? She's going to get that in. She's not losing. She's being competitive, isn't she?
I've never played it before. Shall I read another one?
Yeah, go for it.
Right, so there's another networking event here, South East Networking. In the first week of each month, we bring you free to attend virtual networking for businesses in and around the South East of England. This is your opportunity to meet with other entrepreneurs, self-employed people and small business owners, continuing on your networking network, collaborate and support each other. Tuesday, 4th of October, 12 to 1pm. You didn't just read that, did you?
No. I read the Kent one. Oh, right. That's the South East England one.
Okay, yeah. There you are then.
How about this? This is happening this week on Thursday. It's the University of Kent Business School, and they have a business soundbite event on Thursday the 22nd of September, 5pm till 6:30pm, coffee provided. Do you want to grow your business internationally? Kent Business School offers expert advice on the future perspectives of exporting. So if you want to grow your business, if you want to look at exporting, if you want help, feedback, advice, they've got a whole team of experts from the university's business school that will tell you all about the ins and outs of exporting as a small business.
Yeah, because that's really complicated now, isn't it, apparently?
Well, it can be. It all depends where you're exporting to. It all depends what you're exporting. One of the problems is, one of the failings of the EU was that they never actually got round to having a unified services single market. They had a good single market, but not services. And of course, 80% of everything we do is service-based these days. So it kind of, that's why you need advice, because it all depends what you're selling and who you're selling it to and what you're doing, because there are different rules depending on who you're selling it to.
Quite a few people that do social media actually, you know, work with businesses abroad.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not something that we've done.
Well, that's really fairly easy. I sell websites abroad, and that's all fairly easy stuff because it's just a sales transaction. You know, there's no, you know, for someone like Ali, who's a lawyer, it's not so easy because you have to be accredited in certain countries. You have to have licenses for that country. Whereas selling something like social media services, this is what I said, it was selling social media services or web services is fairly straightforward. Selling software isn't. If you try and sell software into the European Union, for instance, it's a nightmare because you have to charge VAT at the level of the country you're selling it into and the level of the person that's buying your software. And what they can't answer is a question that says, because software is downloadable, if a Belgian buys my software while he or she is on a train travelling between France and Spain, what VAT rate do we use?
Oh, my goodness.
It's a bit of a nightmare. So it depends what you're doing, and that's why going to something like this is really useful, because they will answer your specific questions on your specific business.
Sounds really fantastic.
Yeah, so Thursday the 22nd, University of Kent on the Canterbury campus at the business school. Get along, 5pm.
Okay, do you want another one?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, are you a small business owner interested in reducing your carbon emissions? We were talking about that before we actually went live. Tunbridge Wells Borough Council is organising an afternoon event for businesses on 30th September looking to extend their energy efficiency. Our free-to-attend Going Green Sustainable Business Afternoon will provide information on resources specifically tailored to support small businesses on their journey to net zero. Topics covered will be an introduction to carbon accounting, a case study into sustainable business best practice, LOCAS funding and ongoing LCK projects, the circular economy with local businesses, Upcycle Your Waste, which is UYW, kentbusinessradio.co.uk/calendar. That's where you'll find the info.
Fantastic. I had a tweet from Sarah Marsh Collins. She said, looking forward to listening to the show, Paul. Jade Window Cleaner and I will be all ears. And she sent me a rather nice gif of some ears. Construction Expo. So there's still time to book for the Construction Expo on Thursday the 22nd of September. It's not easy to meet the right people who make the key decisions, so come along where you can meet all the right people and get your free ticket. Follow them on Twitter, Construction Expo. It's taking place this Thursday the 22nd at the K2 Event Centre at Crawley.
I actually went to a property expo this morning.
Did you?
With Thackeray Williams.
Oh, you went to that, did you? I was going to go to that, but I obviously I couldn't because it was a Tuesday.
Well, I went there after a networking meeting, and I've got to say, it was excellent. The stands were really good, and there was lots of people there. I got there at 10, so I was, very busy.
Is that why you were late?
Was I a little bit late?
No, you weren't. You weren't. That's unfair of me. She wasn't late at all. She was perfectly on time, and she made the coffee.
Yeah.
But normally she gets her at the crack of sparrows.
I do. Yeah. But no, that's why.
Yeah. Okay. And that was good, was it? I was going to go to that. Yeah.
Definitely worth getting a stand. I don't think they're that unreasonable either. So, you know, for the audience that was there, there's a really big audience there. And that's what you want at an exhibition, isn't it? You want the people walking through.
Yeah.
And they definitely had the footfall.
Did they?
Good. Yeah, it was really good.
Yeah. No, I intended to go myself, but it just doesn't work on a Tuesday for me because I'm busy, obviously.
Well, I did rush away at 11:15, but...
And you just made it here in time.
It's that 50-mile-an-hour speed limit. I don't know how you people in Ashford cope with it. I struggle.
Yeah. Don't even get me started on that. Half the roads around here are closed anyway.
The thing is, it said that there's workmen. We've got this speed limit because there's workmen. It's for their safety. And I drove all the way from Maidstone, that's where it starts, isn't it, to Ashford. Not one workman in the road. Not one.
Sunday evening, my mum's emergency alarm went off. You know, she's got one of these SOS things. I rang her, what's the matter? She's in tears. I can't make out what's wrong. I think I better go over there. I dash in the car, get halfway up the Biddenden Road, road's closed. Been a big accident, and it's a fatality as well. So, you know, it becomes a crime scene then as well. So the whole road's closed. We had to drive miles down these stupid little lanes just to get to Headcorn. Took me ages.
We just got to know where you're going as well, haven't
you? Yeah. Well, the trouble is, and everybody's going down there, and you're all trying to pass each other in two different ways down a lane that, you know, was built for a donkey and cart. nightmare. Tracy Ferguson, Tassie64 on the Twitter has been on. I'm hope to listen live today. Luckily, there's a replay if I can't. Work is starting today on emptying my downstairs radiators and replastering my front room. So I may be knee-deep in dust and rubble. But she says, have a great show anyway. Well, good luck with that, Tracy. I hope it goes well. Why are you emptying your radiators? I suppose she's bleeding them, is she? Yeah. See, Terry's got it. Yeah, you've got to take them off the wall if you're going to replaster. Didn't think of that, did I? No. It takes a man with a brain to help with this. Yep, you're absolutely right, Terry. Paragon Drones, it wouldn't be Tuesday without so much needed insights, morale and music. We would love a mention on the Business Bunker Show. Thank you. Stonking cheesy tunage. Well, on that note, should we play some cheesy tunage?
Let's play some cheesy.
It's not that cheesy, really. It's actually a very nice tune. Yeah.
Is it? And who's it for?
It's for Terry.
Oh. We'll do
it all. Snow Patrol, isn't it?
Yeah.
Chasing cars, obviously. On our own.
Don't need anything or anyone. If I lay here, if I just lay here, would you lie with me and just forget the world? Don't quite know how to say how I feel. Those three words I said too much. If I lay here, if I just lay here, would you lie with me and just forget the love? All that I am, all that I ever was, is here. If I just lay here, would you lie with me and just forget the world?
Hey, Snow Patrol there, Chasing Cars, just for Terry. It's a lovely tune, that, actually, isn't it? Yeah, it's one of my favourite songs, too. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome back onto the show our motoring correspondent, Mr. Terry Thorpe of DG East of Vehicle Services. Terry, good afternoon. Thank you for joining us again.
Good afternoon, Paul, and ladies.
Yeah.
Good afternoon.
We've got a fairly full studio today, haven't we? It's unusual for us. We normally have at least one guest that's recorded, but we haven't. It's all live today, which is lovely. So, Terry, I mean, last time you were on, we were talking about things various in the motor industry, and I want to kind of catch up with that again. But first and foremost, just to remind people, tell people what it is you do in DG East.
We source vehicles, both new and used, cars and commercial, and we fund them by any method somebody wants.
Right. Armed robbery.
Shirt buttons.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Cool. No, that's good. And the services that you guys provide are fantastic. And I get my cars from you. And we've got some new ones on order, and we're getting all excited because it's getting close.
Just calm down, reset.
Yeah. He hasn't let me into the bad news yet. Yeah. You know you ordered a blue one, Paul. Well, they can only do banana yellow. Okay. We've talked a lot about vehicles and stuff recently, but it is important, and things are still happening. There's this government insanity where they claim they want to stop internal combustion engines by whatever stupid date they've dreamed up, which is just impractical. I was following a thread on social media a couple of days ago in which people were saying, you know, we've worked out what it would actually take if everybody that currently has a car had an electric vehicle. It just ain't going to happen. We could never generate enough electricity to charge them all. And I don't know if you've seen, Terry, just recently in California, they issued an edict saying you're not allowed to charge your electric vehicle overnight because they haven't got enough electricity in the grid.
It's not a joined up system. I mean, the best one I saw yesterday was a guy with an electric car, and he's towing about 10 roof panels, obviously to create some solar power. I think it could be a spoof, but it did look really good for us who are not the biggest fans of electric vehicles.
Well, I'm sure you've seen all those ones where they've run out of juice and they bring a diesel generator to recharge them. I just noticed as well that Tesla have decided to put their charging prices up by 40%. I don't know if you saw that. They announced that this morning.
I understand that we've got to save energy and everything like that, but, I mean, surely keeping older cars are better. It's like old houses, they're better than new houses, aren't they?
Well, the older cars are smellier, noisier, less efficient is what they're trying
more
to
fun.
Squeeze everybody. More fun, yes. I mean, if you watch Goodwood at the weekend, the old cars were fantastic to watch, and the modern Formula Ones are just like laptopped. But it is the fact that the older ones do not tick all the boxes. And unfortunately, as with most things in this world, if it's driven by politicians, it's bound to go wrong. And unfortunately, the electric car idea is going down that road.
It's bonkers from start to finish. I don't want to put words in anybody else's mouth, but there's nothing remotely eco-friendly about an electric car. It's still made of steel. It's still, you know, made of lithium batteries. One of the big problems with transportation, excuse me, and it's one of the things you were saying, Linda, about older cars, people at the bottom end of society that don't have much money depend on buying second-hand cars in the $3,000 to $5,000 range. Yeah,
yeah.
And we all realise that older cars like that aren't as efficient as new cars. The problem is, if you're going to go electric, there is no second-hand market in electric. Yeah, the battery's knackered, and you know, and a replacement battery will cost you more than buying a new internal combustion engine car. So I can only assume that the politicians' drive is to stop us owning cars altogether. I mean, I can't see any other way around it, really. But anyway, that's the electric vehicle stuff. And I don't know if you've seen it, Terry, a couple of stories broken in the last few days about people needing replacement batteries for electric vehicles that are being charged $26,000 for a replacement battery.
That's scary.
Well, it's the cost of a car. Mm. The cost of a brand new car. Ridiculous stuff. So where do we think we're going here? What's going to happen?
We will have to have a slight rethink or a major rethink. They obviously have a problem at the moment with the amount of use you can get from a charge. They quote 300 miles on some, less than that on others. But as soon as the weather changes and it gets damp or it gets misty or it gets cold and you need to use heaters and wipers, you lose 30 to 40% of that capacity. So you're now charging the vehicle five times to get from here to Wales.
Yeah.
And six times on the way back because it's got dark and you've had to have the lights on. It just doesn't compute. They want us all to use public transport. There is no public transport, as most of the people living in even places like Ashford will tell you.
Yeah.
And in the rural locations, there is nothing at all. So we need to start thinking of other ways of doing things. Yes, fossil fuels create problems, but let's try and make them cleaner. Let's try and make them more efficient and stop trying to take away 60% of the population from having independence.
Absolutely.
That's really what we're trying to do. We're trying to stop people being independent.
Yeah, because it's interesting. If you take a step back from the noise, the political noise of this, and look at the innovations that the automotive industry have done over the last 20 or 25 years in terms of fossil fuels, the carbon outputs of cars now is minuscule compared to what it was. You know, I've got a very thirsty, or what would normally be a very thirsty 3-litre AMG Mercedes, but my petrol consumption is not bad. It is not bad at all. Compared to a similar car 10 years ago, would have been ridiculous. I mean, I owned, I know it's not the same, but I owned a Cherokee Jeep about 20 years ago. And you could watch the tank empty as you drove down the road. It would just go and empty. You know, you put 50 back then, you put 50 quid in it to fill the tank, and the next day you put another 50 quid in because it had emptied the tank. But now, you know, efficiency gains are being made. You know, you can only go so far, but the gains that have been made over the last few years have been phenomenal, haven't they?
Yeah, I mean, I came over today in a large estate car, automatic, aircon, everything going on it, and it's doing 55 to the gallon.
Yeah.
Which, you know, 20 years ago, 35 to the gallon, you'd have been happy.
Yeah.
So they have improved it. The tyres have got better. People forget, tyres and less resistance makes fuel efficiency.
Yeah.
So that's come into it. The actual amount of power that you're taking from the engine has improved.
Yeah.
The fact that you now coast and that puts some energy back into the systems. And a lot of these vehicles now actually save fuel when you're coasting. And they don't have to be fully electric to do that. So things are beginning to happen. And obviously, if you go down the hybrid route in town, you're running on electric that you've created.
Yeah.
Unless you've got a long lead and you're doing a plug-in, but that's another argument that you and I can have at some other stage.
So surely the hybrid is better than going totally electric, because the
Yeah.
The hybrid gives you the option of being green in town and on a motorway running a petrol engine.
Yeah.
So you don't run out of battery and stop, which a fully electric will do. If you run out of electric and you're halfway down the motorway, you're sitting there, you're paying £400 or £500 to get recovered to go on. So if there's a big accident somewhere and you're stuck on a motorway, you can't get off. What can you do?
Apart from
ring international rescue.
Yeah.
But with a hybrid, if you run out of battery, the petrol engine or the diesel engine takes over, carries on, and puts some charge back into the batteries. So it's creating more battery energy for when you get into town and you've got a congestion charge zone at £15 a day or whatever they want to levy on you.
Have they thought of any other... I mean, I was down at the seaside the other day and I can't even tell you the sewage that was in the sea. It was disgusting.
Mm.
Haven't they thought of a way of turning our own natural waste into fuel? Have they? I mean, surely that's the answer. There's so much of, they're chucking it into our sea and ruining our seas.
Yeah. I've never heard of poo-driven cars. I have to put my words carefully there.
But wouldn't it be a good idea?
Well, it would be lovely if you could. Can you imagine that? Yeah.
Just stick a bit of perfume in it, maybe.
Just a little concerned of how you get it into the car. Images come to mind.
Sorry, officer, just topping the car up.
I think that goes back to the days of AdBlue, which was allegedly pig's urine. And if you ran out of AdBlue, you could top it up yourself on the way home.
Exactly, yeah.
But no, I think we probably need to look at different fuels. Mm. I mean, obviously, hydrogen has been talked about a great deal. Mm. We've now got a situation where there was a car on a World Rally event about 3 weeks ago that was running on hydrogen.
Mm.
So if we've developed them to go fast enough to do a rally through the forests in Scandinavia, then we should be able to develop hydrogen to go round the ring road in Ashford or between here and the coast.
Sure.
It is... close.
Yeah.
It's not there fully, but it is close.
Well, there are, I think Canterbury have them already, or are about to have hydrogen buses, and there are definitely hydrogen buses in Gateshead. Mm-hmm. The reason I say Canterbury is because there's a hydrogen production plant in Herne Bay, and they're due, if they haven't already released them, they are due to have hydrogen buses. It's interesting. I think hydrogen is a fuel that needs looking at. One of the other things that's quite a way off, I think, but they're experimenting with, and one of the things I love about industry and science and all these kind of things is innovations do come along, and quite often somebody will come up with something that, you know, nobody's ever thought of as a solution, and also it works. But Volkswagen, in conjunction with some Chinese manufacturers, are experimenting with synthetic fuel. Actually making fuel that's acts like petrol or diesel but isn't, which could be an interesting thing.
But is that a further development of biofuel, where you've had plant-based fuels? I mean, they're putting a percentage of biofuel into normal petrol. That's why we've gone from E5 to E10, because they're topping it up with a bit of biofuel.
Yeah.
Well, if you get the engine to run on a more concentrated biofuel, you could be growing it in the fields.
Well, you can run a diesel engine on vegetable oil, can't you? Chip fat.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's people who used to do that.
Yeah. And so, again, it's technology that you could, because you're absolutely right, you know, you could just call it biofuel, or the rest of us call it vegetable oil. but, you know, it is perfectly possible now to run a car like that. It's a bit messy and smelly, but if you synthesise that and build an engine specifically to run on it, then it's a way forward, isn't it? And it's interesting how so many of those experimental technologies don't really get looked at. You know, it's electric or nothing at the moment as far as the government are concerned.
We've had the cynical problem for many years where things have been developed and then they've been bought by people who own oil wells or various other things, and they've mothballed them. Because you won't sell any oil if everybody's running on chip fat or hydrogen or wind power.
Yeah.
And, you know, the people at the top who have got the biggest pockets are the ones who want you to keep buying their oil.
Well, it used to make me laugh. In the 70s, I worked in the oil industry, and what used to make me laugh was the oil industry used to put these scare stories out about peak oil. It was the oil industry that did it, and it wasn't anybody else. They go, oh, we're running out. But, of course, if it's scarce, they can put a price up. They're not running out of oil. They've never nearly run out of oil. There's more oil unrecovered now than we've ever used. And there's also some interesting stuff. I don't want to get in this right now, but there's some interesting stuff. There's a big oil well in the Gulf of Mexico that keeps refilling itself, and they're not sure why. Three times it's done it now. They've emptied it, and then when they've gone back a few years later, it's full again, and they can't work out why. There's a couple of theories about it that are unproven, and there's also a couple of things that say, well, maybe there's a fissure that runs really, really deep, and we haven't got that yet, but it's leaking back up. But it's done it three times now, which is a bit much, but it's interesting. But, you know, the world wants to move away from fossil fuels, and that's fine. But I think you've got to have something to replace it that's effective, and that's where they're kind of scrabbling around at the moment. But I'm sure that somebody will come up with something at some point that will change the game.
Maybe someone's listened to me on the show today and they're going to come up with that idea.
Well, poo.
Yeah.
poo cars.
Solve two problems in one go.
I think that's brilliant, Linda. You just got to, you know, make it work. You know, I mean, you've done the hard work on it. Yeah.
You go from a two-car family to a third car.
Yeah, yeah, oh, thank you. Boom, Tish. It would be lovely if you could do something that simple. A couple of people have claimed in the past that they've developed combustion engines or non-combustion engines that run on water. Yeah, and there have been a couple of working examples, but nothing that's really, you know, worked out. It's a bit kind of fabricated.
Steam engine?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It won't be long before we're back to that, will it?
So, Terry, wasn't there meant to be a shortage of cars? Have you experienced that there is a shortage?
Shortage of cars, that is a very understated event at the moment.
Oh.
There's been a problem for 2 years. COVID obviously created a lot of the problems. Basically, along with shutdown of all the production, we then had a situation with these lovely electrical semiconductors that Paul mentioned. Most cars need about 4,000 to 5,000 of them. The little electrical components, about the size of a pea, and every electrical item in the world, mobile phones, washing machines, dishwashers, TVs, cars, aeroplanes, everything need these little electronic devices. One factory caught fire. One factory had a problem with lots of snow, so basically two-thirds of the world's production disappeared overnight. Our clever friends in China went, hang on, there's going to be a shortage. So they bought all the semiconductors they could get hold of.
Some of the big factories are in Ukraine as well.
Oh, wow.
Oh, well, that's another problem, because we've got Mr. Putin firing bullets and missiles, but also a lot of components are made in Ukraine for the European manufacturers. Yeah. So you've got certain vehicles now that cannot be made because they can't get the bits they need to finish putting them together. Mm. So cars for the last 2 years, very hard to get by. Now I'm finding that if somebody comes to me, 9 to 12 months for most new cars. Mm.
Wow.
Some are longer than that. Some are up to 18 months. Stuff out of China, you're able to get a bit quicker, but obviously you're limited to what China makes, which is three or four different types of vehicle. A good old British MG, owned by the Chinese, built in China, comes over here, and we're selling a British inverted commas product, but
we've
been doing that for a long time.
It's interesting, isn't it? And of course that's had a knock-on effect on the second-hand car market.
Yeah, prices up through the stratosphere.
Yeah.
If you can find them.
Yeah. Quite often now you're paying more for a second-hand car than you would for a new one if you could get one. Yeah, it's kind of scary.
Mm. They went up 25 to 30% in a six-month period from 21 onwards.
Right.
They're beginning to level off. But you've only got to watch the television, and you've got four or five large companies trying to buy used cars. We Buy Any Car, Cinch, Cazoo, Motorway, they are all trying to get people to sell them their car
so that they can then go and put it in the market and sell it. So that's creating even more of a shortage, which is not good for idiots like me who are involved in trying to supply cars.
Absolutely. Well, it's not good for any of us, is it? I mean, we're just creating problems all over the place. I mean, I've talked to my oldest son lives in France, and the second-hand car market in France is non-existent. You can't buy anything. He sold a knackered transit van he had, that had failed its MOT in both England and France, and he sold it in the full knowledge that it failed its MOT for €1,000. Guy went, "Oh, I need it. I just can't get one anywhere else. So I'm just going to drive it." And Jamie's going, "But it's got no floor." And he's going, "Oh, that's all right. I'll put some planks in there."
It is scary. And the thing is, it is hitting people on the lower end of the economic scale.
Exactly. And that's the problem. You know, it filters down to people, as I said earlier, people that rely on buying secondhand internal combustion engine cars in the, you know, $3,000 to $5,000 price range. I mean, it's just not happening.
No.
And of course, as Terry identified as well, a lot of those older cars aren't very eco-friendly, so you're getting whacked on the insurance for things like that as well, because it, you know, their output is quite high.
Can't go into London.
There you go. Yeah, well, that's a benefit. who wants to go there? it is a problem. And again, with small commercial vans as well, you know, you've got exactly the same kind of problem.
Probably worse, because when we first had lockdown, everybody who was able to walk anywhere was out buying a van and was suddenly a gardener or a window cleaner or a delivery man. So all the used vans got swallowed up extremely quickly there. So the market got rather strangled.
Right. Finishing off, Terry. We've talked about this a few times before as well. Acquisition of new cars. It started to move more towards leasing than buying. Have you seen any movement in that kind of marketplace?
It's still continuing. I mean, the problem is with new cars now, the purchase price has got, shall we say, rather excessive. You know, if you're talking of £20,000 for a Fiesta or for a small Golf, probably 25 to 30. So somebody to go and look under the floorboards and find £20,000 is struggling. And with all the other costs that are being pushed down the line now. So to rent the use of a car, which you used to do with a television or a video recorder or anything like that, you just buy the bit you want, which is 6 months, 9 months, 18 months, 3 years, 4 years. That's the way of doing it. The residual value, which is there at the end of your period of use, obviously means there's still quite a bit of equity left. So that then is used by the leasing company to recover their costs. Yes, they're going to build some profit in. Nobody does anything for nothing in this world. But it saves you going and paying out a large capital lump sum. And then after 3 years, having to start the process again. So more and more private leasing going on. Obviously, businesses are still looking at, there's tax advantages of contract hire or leasing or whatever, and VAT implications. So it just gets a little bit more murky to dig your way through it all. But private lease is the way to go for 90% probably of people looking now. Not many people have got a lot of spare cash.
Absolutely. And as you say, even if you did, it's still not that effective to do it, because, you know, you buy a car, you want to sell it again in 3 or 4 years, you then got to put it on the market, sell it, and all the rest of it, even if you bought it for cash in the first place, which hardly anybody could afford. Most people will buy it on finance.
I mean, the only thing at the moment is, because the market is so distorted, the used car is worth a lot more than it was, or you thought it would be 2 years ago. So there's people who've bought a car and thought, "I don't need it anymore," sold it and had a nice little windfall. But that's going to be so rare. It'll be a short window, then it'll go back to normally orderly marketing, that you buy the car, it depreciates over 3 years and you lose half its value. But it'll take a while. I mean, you can forget next year. I think new car supply will not improve very much through 2023. It'll be probably 2024, and then it will depend on Mr. Putin and his actions and various other factors as to whether supply improves to any reasonable
level. So can you see cars coming back down again?
I think they will do, but it'll be a long process. And obviously there's going to be other economic factors. You've got interest rates that are beginning to climb. You've got people who are finding that their disposable income is not looking towards a car replacement at the moment. It's looking towards heating their home.
Paying a gas bill, yeah.
Being able to find some food to put on the table and all the other costs. So I think luxury items, which cars in the main are, will suffer. The businesses who do 40,000 miles a year in a vehicle will still be replacing them because they wear out over time. But they will be looking for keener and keener pricing.
Yeah. Right, I'm going to put you on the spot now. Favourite cars?
Favourite cars?
Yeah, yeah. So if you were spending your own money, Terry.
Yeah.
And I said, right, I want you to buy a small car, small hatchback, a saloon car and a 4x4, what would you go for?
If I went for a small hatchback, I'd probably go Honda Jazz.
Right, okay. Is that what you've got, Linda?
Yeah.
Reliability, and even though it's classed as a small car, there's quite a lot of room in it. You'll get four people in and have a bit of boot room.
Right.
So that would be a sensible thing. And now we're going head or heart on the other ones.
Right. Well, give us both. Go
right.
On.
Well, then, sensibly, I would probably think of something like a DS7 Citroen.
Citroen, yeah.
Because it's got lots of room. And price-wise, it's probably about a third of a Range Rover.
Right.
So why go and waste 70, 80, 90, 110,000 when you can get away with spending 40?
Right.
And if I had to buy a car to sit at home and use once a week, I'd probably go and buy a 6R4 Metro if I could find one.
Right, okay.
But I wouldn't be able to use it on the road.
No, no, I was going to say, yeah. Okay.
A 6R4 Metro?
Yes, in the
rally car.
Mid-80s, Rover decided they wanted to become world rally champions and go against the Italians and the French and Ford as well. And they got a Metro, they put a V6 engine in the back, made it four-wheel drive, gave it 380 brake horsepower, and two seats, and it went like a scalded cat. Then I know a guy who took one of those and thought it's not fast enough and made it into 650 brake horse with a couple of turbos popped on it, and that's the one I'd love to get hold of.
It's sort of dodgy when they get up. I used to race GTs, and we had a car with a 7.5 litre Cosworth engine with twin turbos on it. You couldn't keep it on the ground. We had to put bricks in it to stop it taking off. Ridiculous.
Yeah. Oh, I love a bit of speed.
Yeah.
Power is not everything. It's got to be deliverable.
Yeah.
It's no good having all the horses under the sun if it goes off at every corner.
Yeah, exactly. So that's the wisdom of Terry. Did you give us a saloon car?
Well, saloon car, yes, I'd probably go Lexus.
Right, okay, yeah. It's funny enough, the saloon car market seems to not be very big anymore, is it? There's not that many saloon cars. You know, you've got your Merc, Audis and BMWs, and then Mazda do saloon cars, and then it kind of fades away from there, really, doesn't it?
Well, most people want the sort of 4x4 style. Even if it's only a two-wheel drive vehicle. Yeah. Higher off the ground, easier to get in and out of. Plenty of room for the 2.4 children and their bikes and their laptops and their mobile phones and anything else they want to put in there. And that's the market. I mean, the pickup market is beginning to wane now. Those days of everybody wanting a pickup with off-road thing.
You could carry your own poo in the back, couldn't you? So that you could have a little bloke with a shovel filling your car up if we could get Linda's poo cars working.
Yeah, be like Casey Jones, wouldn't it?
Actually, the Honda Jazz is a really practical car because the way the seats fold down, it makes it like a small van in the back. You can get so much in the back of a Honda Jazz, honestly.
I'm not saying anything, Linda. You fold the seats down often, do you?
Just to get all the poo in.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm always moving things around me, so
I'm concerned that you're telling Honda that their car makes a good van. I don't think they've ever considered building a van.
And why not?
There's lots of room, lots more room than I've had in any other
Very
car.
Practical.
Mm.
Terry, fantastic. Thank you for that update on where we are with the automotive industry and how it affects most of us. And I think, you know, from my personal point of view, looking at this, the politicians really need to start thinking again about what they're doing here, unless it's deliberate, and it could well be deliberate, but I don't see how they're going to get away with that. I really don't. We could end up in Mad Max territory, really, couldn't we? Where we're having to build our own cars.
Or blunderbuss.
Yeah, exactly. Cool. Okay, Terry, thank you so much for that. If people want to find out about the services that you offer in DG East, what's your website?
www.dgeast.co.uk.
Fantastic. Thank you, Terry. That's really good stuff. We've got a few minutes before we join the Channel Radio newsroom. We're going to try and catch up on some of the tweets and some of the emails. Do you want to read something, Linda?
Yeah, well, let me tell you people about my event, which is Feel Good Friday, which is taking place on Friday the 30th of September. It's a really great night for people who fancy a bit of a boogie, who are between 25 and 75, I suppose. Ali's been along.
Great night.
Yeah, really good night. Got three DJs there, and there's barbecue, and you've got fantastic views across the valley, so that's a really nice one.
Fantastic.
Can't quite see Kenwood Trust, but they're saying don't forget to come along to our coffee morning, which is Wednesday the 28th of September, and it's open 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. in the Sinden Room, with yummy cakes available to purchase. Please reserve your place by emailing info@kenwoodtrust.org.uk.
Fantastic. I've had a tweet from Martin Reeves, who's back. For some reason, I don't know why Twitter did this, they suspended his account, and I've no idea why. He's a lovely man, and he hadn't done anything wrong, but that's Twitter for you. Anyway, he's back. He said, "Hi Paul's and Jules, who's away. I'd love a shout out on the Business Bunker Show today, please. I've actually been listening to last week's show this morning, and he had some incredible guests on, and I'm really interested in listening to the show this afternoon. Have a fabulous show, and I'll be listening later." So that's from Martin Reeves. You can now follow him on his new account, which is Buddy Collectors. Oh no, let me make sure. Yeah, Buddy Collectors, B-U-D-D-Y Collectors. Give him a follow.
Yeah, I will do. That's Martin. And we've got one here from someone not too far away from me. Hi, Linda Cloak. How about a shout out for a very patient greyhound still waiting to meet the apple of his eye?
Ah. I don't know what she's done with the dog. She hasn't taken it to Valencia, has she? No.
And Ali's had a go at tweeting here. Great to be here. Still trying to learn how to tweet.
Read another one.
Oh, I was going to say another one. So that's Hi Linda Cloak again. Waiting to be interviewed by Vanilla Webb, and that's by Ali. You're doing really well, Ali. That's two tweets.
That wasn't me.
Oh, that wasn't me. Oh, funny. Right, okay, well, I'm going to read you another one of these events that's going on. Are you joining us for breakfast at the Ship Inn? The next meeting is just over a week away, 7:45 on Thursday, 29th September. Book now to ensure your place, marchnetwork.co.uk. Tickets going fast, so early booking is recommended. Join us for our relaxed style professional networking for a great breakfast, one of the best networking circuits. Tell us about your business, the support and leads you're looking for, and offer support to others. Hear about our upcoming meetings and charity event plans, and please tell others about the meeting and how we offer a great welcome to first timers. See you soon, Terry.
Fantastic. I've got two tweets I want to read. One I need to find in a minute. Terry's just pointed it out to me from Tassie, and I'm going to read that in a moment. I just need to read this before I miss it as well. It's from an account called Kent Sings, and it says, "If we're not too late, could we have a shout out for our event at Rochester Cathedral on Friday evening? It's called the Kent Sings to End MND, well, it's motor neuron disease, and it's the first time the Kent MND community has come together in this way. So yes, of course you can have a shout out. It sounds fantastic. There's a rock choir and all kinds of things going on there. The rock choir will be performing, and we'll be celebrating the lives of those in Kent lost to MND and raising funds to support people in Kent living with this dreadful disease. The easiest way to find out all about this is to follow them on Twitter, and their Twitter handle is Kent Sings. So do give them a follow. Do get along to Rochester Cathedral on Friday and join in that.
as well from Tracy here. So
yeah, have you got the Tracy one?
Yeah,
there?
At yeah. Tassie 64. Tuned in. Sorry I'm late. My brother has bought an electric car. He now has charging anxiety. So much effort goes into planning charging on a long journey. Oh, no. Another friend had a car on order for over a year, then gave up as still no news on when it would be delivered.
It's scary, really, isn't it?
Very scary.
Oh, Jules has actually replied to your Casey thing with a picture of a mutt. I can't remember what it's called.
Darcy,
that's him.
Her.
Her. Oh, yeah.
Oh, look, she's saying she misses us, Jules, as well, which is lovely, with a little emoji gif going on.
Sarah Marsh Collins says, I used to love my Toyota Hilux. Talking about pickups. And she's given a rather nice gif there. Of someone that's not shoveling stuff in the back of a pickup. I'm surprised that none of the energy companies have been on trying to pick up on your idea, Linda. Really.
I can tell them where to pick all the poo up from as well, because yeah. It's just very beach very close to us. So
yeah, absolutely, yeah.
We wouldn't have to go far.
Okay. Old Jules is fully awake now. Oh dear, yeah. We shouldn't have done that. Cool. The Seven Oaks Business Show is destined to be the biggest and best yet. It's an opportunity for the cream of Seven Oaks businesses to showcase their products and services, not just to fellow businesses, but to the public. To set off the exhibitors in the best possible light, the show is being held this year in the newly opened Bat and Ball Centre in Cramptons Road. The centre provides over 3,500 square feet of exhibition space, has state-of-the-art lighting and facilities, and extensive free car parking. There's already more than 30 exhibitors lined up. The speaker lineup is Holiday Park entrepreneur Alfie Best, Emma Thompson, who's a partner at Thackeray Williams Solicitors, talking about COVID and employment law, Kizzy Nicholson of Social Fireworks, the do's and don'ts of social media, Austin Blackburn of Go Coach on the future of bus services. Terry, we were talking about the fact that we haven't got any most of the place, and all this is happening on Thursday the 22nd of September, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Bat and Ball Centre. That's right next to Bat and Ball Railway Station. Compared the Seven Oaks Business Awards there a few months ago. It's a fantastic new place, a lovely little conference centre right next to Bat and Ball Station.
That's where we were this morning.
Oh, it's good, isn't it?
Yeah, it's nice. Good. Yeah. Really nice. Yeah. So book now for the next meeting of Marsh Network Online, which will take place at 10:30 this Wednesday, 21st of September. Our speaker will be Malcolm Hackett, who will discuss the elements of photography. I've met him. He's a lovely man and a very good photographer. Book now at marshnetwork.co.uk. Join organisations from Kent, Sussex and beyond for our relaxed style of professional networking. Tell us about yourself and your business or charity and how we can help and support your organisation to succeed, develop and grow. The Marsh Network has been built on mutual respect, support and collaboration. We have no lockouts, no joining or membership fees, and your meeting fee includes charity donation. That's Terry Botfield of Botfield Associates.
Fantastic. As I mentioned earlier, because they tweeted, but I'm going to tell you this again just so that you know, it's the Construction Expo, and it's taking place this Thursday, the 22nd of September, at the K2 Centre in Crawley. It's the place to meet loads of construction professionals from across the UK. 87% of business directors agree it's easier to communicate face-to-face than it is via phone, email or Zoom. It's completely free to attend. There's lots going on. There's lots of speakers. There's lots of events and there's lots of exhibitors. If you want to find out all about it and book your free ticket, constructionexpouk.co.uk. That's www.constructionexpouk.co.uk. Do you know what? I think we're going to join the Channel Radio newsroom. And then when we come back, we're going to talk to our second guest, Ali Young of Ali Young Law, and some more fun and frolics, and see if Linda can come up with any more stonking ideas to solve some problems. I think it's brilliant. We've just got to get the details sorted out now.
Okay, I'm very innovative, even I am.
Oh, you are. You obviously are. Yeah. Cool. I mean, you've turned a Honda Jazz into a van.
Yeah.
You've developed a whole new power source for cars, and we're only halfway through the show, so we've got no idea what's going to come in the second half, but we're looking forward to it. Anyway, let's join the Channel Radio newsroom.
Excellent.
Talis Independent Financial Advisors can help you invest, organise your pensions, and even get you the best possible life insurance, mortgage, or equity release deal. Check out talisifa.com.
Become part of our community to build your social media habits with workouts. Increase your brand's presence and engagement. Go to wedosocialmedia.co.uk to register for 2 free social media workouts every Wednesday. 10:30 a.m. Facebook and 11:30 a.m. LinkedIn.
Loch Associates Group. Let us look after all your people needs so you can focus on growing your business. No long-term tie-ins, just responsive, commercially-minded support. Find us at lochassociates.co.uk.